The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's the last hour of the Wednesday show for me, George Brockler, right here at 710 KNUS. 10 o'clock, Charlie Kirk, 11, Prager, 1, Gorka, and then we go live and local right back here in this sweet seat with Deb Flora and then Stefan Tubbs from 4 to 7. Definitely tune in to hear them as well. Want to remind you before we bring on our next guest about the Western Conservative Summit. That's the granddaddy of them all. I wish I could do that. Keith voice, that the granddaddy of them all. Western Conservative Summit. It is going to be at the Colorado Convention Center. We're hosts, along with the Centennial Institute. That's our buddy Jeff Hunt as well. We're helping to host that thing. It's going to take place June 9th and June 10th. That's a Friday and a Saturday coming up in just a couple few weeks. Big-time speakers, Lauren Boebert, Eric Metaxas, Ken Buck, Jenna Ellis, Frank Gaffney, Tulsi Gabbard, just added Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, and yours truly will not be speaking there, but wish that I could someday. 710knus.com, that's where you find out all the good information and how to get them their tickets. I will see you there, not Friday, but maybe Saturday. I will see you there. Check it out. I want to go to the VIP line. This is a conversation that's kind of organically sprung up here based on a story that Billy did in the 6 o'clock on the Thorpe Report, and that is about the defeat of Wayne Williams, who I would have said before yesterday's results was the presumptive mayor-elect down there in Colorado Springs. We've had a conversation with Dave Williams. He's the state party GOP chair at the moment, the state party GOP chair of the past, but also a guy who has kept his finger on the pulse of politics border to border here is our friend Dick Wadhams. Dick, thanks for joining us.
Hey, George. Nice to be with you again.
Now, listen, you had a chance to listen to Dave's thoughts on this thing, and we also had a pretty insightful caller, Cameron, who's down there, and he lives in, and this was these were his perceptions. First, let me begin with this. Were you shocked at all by the outcome yesterday in that Colorado Springs election?
Not shocked, surprised, but you could tell leading up to the election, George, that everything was falling in line for the for his opponent, and frankly, the Colorado Springs, the El Paso County Republican Party can be charitably called a dumpster fire for the last several elections, last several years. I mean, the divisions within the party, the lawsuits flying around, and that didn't help either. But he ran in many ways a perfect campaign. He did not run as a Democrat. He didn't. I share the opinion that he's going to be very liberal. In fact, I think he's going to be close to a Democratic Socialist as he governs, and that will create a backlash. But
Dick, can you stop right there for a moment? Because what shocks me about that is if you know that, that means that Bill Elder and Sally Clark knew that. Now, Sally Clark was a runner up in this particular thing, not enough to get into the runoff yesterday. But, you know, Bill's a Republican sheriff. He's been there forever. How do two Republicans show up to endorse a guy that you've just described as very likely to be this socialist?
Well, they probably would disagree with me on that, George, yeah. Frankly. I think Mobile Aid, I think that's how you say it. He convinced people that he was kind of a moderate and that he had been involved in the community and that he was not partisan. And I think they bought off on that and then threw in the fact that there was some antagonism towards Wayne by people. I've always been a great admirer of Wayne Williams. He was a fantastic Secretary of State. He's been a great leader of the party in the El Paso County, going back when he was the county chairman when we elected the only Republican governor in 50 years,
right?
Bill Owens, back in 1998. So my respect for Wayne's deep. But there were a lot of people who apparently did not like Wayne in this election, and I think that's unfortunate.
But does that mean then that this is a one-off, or does this say something more about Colorado Springs changing than it does the fact that you had these unique things that you just described. There were a bunch of people that didn't like Wayne. This other guy shows up as an unaffiliated and an unknown, so he's able to define himself, and he gets some Republican cover, which I think is what Dave Williams was telling us. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's both, George. I think it was a very Wayne's loss was very specific to what was going on within that race in for Mayor Colorado Springs. But I do not think we can ignore what's going on overall in a macro sense. I mean, remember in 2022, George, that our candidates for U.S. Senator and Secretary of State and Attorney General and Treasurer all only got 52% in El Paso County.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, when a Republican statewide candidate only gets 52%, that is a huge defeat. Clearly, there has been a shift among unaffiliated voters in Colorado Springs. And I just checked before I got on the air. Right now in El Paso County, and these are numbers as of May 1st,
yeah,
there are 86,000 Democrats, 147,000 Republicans, and get this, George, 228,000 unaffiliated voters.
Oh, dang. That's almost 50%.
48%, according to my calculator.
Wow.
But anyway, but that tells you the story. El Paso County is not a Republican stronghold anymore. And as we've seen across the state, whether it be Jefferson, Arapahoe, or any part of the state, unaffiliated voters cut against us these last three election cycles because of their antipathy to Donald Trump. And anybody who tries to disagree with that they're living in a dream world. I got to, as long as our party is defined by Donald Trump in Colorado, these unaffiliated voters are going to continue to abandon us. And not only in this mayor's race in the Colorado Springs, but in every in competitive legislative races and every other race up and down the ticket.
Well, that's an important thing that you've said there, because I agree with you that in the last three even numbered year election cycles, that has been real. But we haven't seen it impact things like the Aurora City Council election, even whether it's Mike Kaufman 4 years ago or the new conservative members. We haven't seen it affect that. Do you think it weighed in as a difference maker for this election between Wayne and Yemi?
Well, this is one of the things that didn't happen in Aurora. There wasn't this Republican chaos in the background in Aurora when Mike Kaufman and our friends on the city council got elected. I think that El Paso County chaos among Republicans, the lawsuits and charges and countercharges and just the day-to-day crap that was going on in that county, I think it put a bad taste in a lot of the voters' mouths about Republicans in general. You can't tell me that didn't hurt. And in Aurora, we didn't have that. We had candidates who could talk about their campaigns, talk about the issues, in a very straightforward way without not having that baggage. I think that's a big difference.
Do you think that it would have been the same outcome, keeping all other constants, all the things constant, if the Republican Party down there had just been less fractured? And I don't know how many people out there listening to 710 right now can appreciate how much infighting there was and how many different things that ended up either in court or in front of the executive committee. All of these squabbles that are unprecedented in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like this from a county party. Is that enough to have created this outcome, or does it outweigh the Trump impact on this outcome?
I think it's a combination of everything, George. I think the biggest factor in terms of what's happening in El Paso County in terms of partisan politics is the Trump factor. Secondarily, but also important, is what's going on with the El Paso County Republican Party. Because you just can't look at the previous three election cycles. And if you had told me 10 years ago that El Paso County would only get 52% of its vote to a statewide Republican candidate, I wouldn't have believed it. But that's what we're dealing with right now. Well, and that's why, and it's the unaffiliated shifting against us.
You could see it in 2018, and I felt it in 2018.
Yep.
And we've talked about this before. I counted on El Paso County to do what they've done historically, which is to give me a margin of victory that would outweigh Denver, would offset Denver, and that Douglas County would offset Boulder. And even though I think it's true even today, even though I got more votes as a Republican candidate for a statewide office, a non-federal statewide office, than anybody ever. I still got thumped because, in part, El Paso County didn't give me that margin, and Douglas County didn't give me that margin, and I lost Denver 4-1. I mean, 4-1, Dick. How do you overcome something like that when your Republican strongholds are that weak?
No, you can't. And, in fact, you mentioned Douglas County, George. The same thing went on in Douglas County.
Actually, it was 3-1. It was 3-1.
The same Republican candidates only got 52% in Douglas. And you mentioned Denver. You actually did much better in Denver than Republicans this last election, because they only got 18-20%.
I think I got 3-1. I think I lost Denver 3-1. I don't know. It was 2-1 in Boulder. I think it was 3-1. But still, horrible numbers. And this has started back in 2018. Is it your sense, Dick, that those numbers change if somehow, if we just disappear Donald Trump from the 2024 ballot, does turnout yield a different result for us in races?
No, not right away, George. I mean, I think that stigma that he attached to us is going to be hard to clean off. And remember, he might be our Republican nominee for president next year. I mean, you asked a very good question earlier. What impact? If he is our nominee, you can kiss this state goodbye again. I think we have a fighting chance if we nominate DeSantis or Nikki Haley or any number of the other candidates.
Tim Scott.
We would have a fighting chance.
And a fighting chance at what? I mean, maybe it's a blessing that 2024 doesn't offer us any statewide races, you know, maybe because of what could happen.
Well, we would have a fighting chance to maybe win some legislative seats back. Clearly, the Democrats won some races that they shouldn't have, and I don't think we can win majorities next year. But I do think there's a reasonable opportunity to win back some seats in the House and Senate. But we won't do that with Donald Trump. I think we have a fighting chance if DeSantis or Nikki Haley or one of the others are the nominee. But no, it's going to take a while, George, for this stink to be washed off of Republicans.
My concern with what you're telling us, Dick, though, is that if it was just limited to just the even year elections and the upper ballot things, I'm worried about how does this impact? Does it impact races like county commissioner? Does it impact races like district attorney?
Sure, it does. In fact, you mentioned Arapahoe and Jefferson County. Look at those have become Democratic bastions now because it went right down to the county commissioner level, the county clerk level, state legislative level. I mean, Jefferson and Arapahoe County used to send virtually entirely Republican delegations to the state capitol. There is not a Republican legislator from the Jefferson County now. I think Arapahoe has, one or two? It was mentioned earlier that there are now three Democrats, I think, from El Paso County, which never used to send any Democrats. This has been a total shift of the Colorado electorate, fueled, George, as you know, by the 800,000 people who moved here from 2011 to 2021, that on one hand gave us the 8th congressional seat, but on the other hand totally changed the electorate, which is why we have 46% of the electorate that is unaffiliated. But now anybody who thinks that we can come back if Donald Trump is our nominee for president next year, really?
And as you can imagine, there are a number of people out there listening at 710 who are like, I think that's crack smoke crazy. Donald Trump is our only hope. He's the guy that and I said this to Dave, and I believe this. In my lifetime, Reagan included, nobody has motivated our base and some others the way Donald Trump has. But at the same time, nobody in my lifetime has motivated the other side the way Donald Trump has. I mean, this guy's superpower is nobody's ambivalent about him. Do you know what I mean? Like, people aren't like, nah, he's okay. You either love this guy or you hate this guy. That's what it seems like in terms of when you get down to ballots.
Yeah, and George Washington, I voted for Trump twice.
Me too.
I loved what he accomplished.
Me too.
He was an immensely successful president on so many fronts. But he has squandered all that. He has squandered all that because it is this incessant obsession with stolen election conspiracies, with his shameful behavior during and since the January 6th attack on the Capitol. He has squandered every bit of political goodwill that he could have had had he not done those things.
I should have asked this question. Alexa, who's one of our super smart listeners and the unelected, the unofficial official historian, she asked this question. How badly was Wayne hurt by showing up in that commercial with Jenna Griswold?
Well, I think she raises a good question, and I think that did hurt him badly. And I wish he hadn't done it. In fact, I was not pleased at all because when he did that, because Pam Anderson, did that defeat Pam Anderson? No, it did not. But you just don't do that. Throw in with the incumbent Secretary of State when you have an outstanding Republican candidate like Pam won. So, yeah, I do think that was part of the equation.
That's interesting. I thought it was ill-advised, too. I didn't like it, not just for Wayne, but I didn't like the cover it provided Jenna during the time that this thing was going on. It just was a mistake. I'm also, I'll talk to Bill. Maybe I'll get Bill on the radio to talk about it. I'm just interested that two Republicans down there who've been around a long time and played roles in government down there chose to side against Wayne. That's just such an interesting dynamic that would happen. And maybe that's part of the political infighting that takes place down there, Dick. I don't know. Maybe it's just so personal they can't get past it. When you look at the presidential field, knowing that will be the number one biggest ticket item that we have, how's this thing going to play out, man? If you had to guess right now, I'm going to tip my hand. I think right now, if you made me guess, I'd put money on Trump. Now, I just don't see anything that seems like it's going to derail this guy. This guy is bulletproof.
I'm not there yet, George. He's got a huge advantage right now. DeSantis has had a bad couple of weeks, although he had a really good weekend in Iowa this past weekend. DeSantis is about to formally get into the race, from what I read. I think that will change the equation for DeSantis. Senator Scott from South Carolina, Nikki Haley from South Carolina. I think we've got some other fine candidates too. There's a long way to go in this process. So I'm not ready to throw in the towel on this, although I would agree with you. Right now, it looks like Donald Trump is the odds on favorite to be our nominee. And that's not good for us here in Colorado, especially.
Dick, if I could go local again, HH is this ballot initiative, this referred measure. Well, it's not really a referred measure. It was placed inside a bill, and it's going to go to the governor's desk. I presume he signs it, and then it becomes, in essence, like a referred measure. This is the thing that seeks to blow up Tabor, to try to siphon off these Tabor funds under the auspices of trying to impact these surging property values. And then it makes our Tabor, in about 10 years, it makes our Tabor refunds go away. Is this an Achilles heel for folks, for the Dems on this thing? I realize it's on the ballot November of 2023 instead of November of 2024, but is this something we can win? And I asked this question on the radio the other day. A lot of folks texted in and were like, Coloradans are so stupid, they're going to fall for this. They're going to vote for this thing because of the flowery language at the front end. What do you think about that?
I think it can be defeated, and I think it will be defeated, George. I anticipate that there will be an aggressive campaign to kill it. I think that voters, they don't like having their taxes raised, which is essentially what this does. And it's a joke. I never thought Kyle Clark could be the one who puts it in such great perspective when he said Jared Polis takes a dollar out of one pocket and puts it in the other pocket and says he saved you money. I don't know if you've seen that.
I did multiple days, but there was one clip that was going around where he asks right into the camera, does Governor Polis think we're stupid or something? I'm like, dang.
That's right. No, it was a powerful and damaging piece for Polis. I do think that voters are going to be on to this. I do not think they will vote for this.
I hope you're right. What's the next big thing that's out there that you're going to look for? And I should have asked you this before. I've talked a lot about the Alvin Bragg indictment of Trump. I think it was purely political, but I also think there's something there. It's just he's origamiing the law to try to get to a felony to keep the statute of limitations from being an issue. But that's just not the only thing out there. I mean, he's got the civil case where they found against him on the sexual contact with that woman whose name escapes me. Forgive me. You've got the thing down in Georgia with that. I mean, does any of that stand a chance of derailing his momentum, or does it for our base just entrench them in the idea that he's a target because he's effective? He's a target because they're afraid of him.
And I don't know what the exact percentages are, obviously, George, but I acknowledge that Trump has probably a rock hard, what, 35-40% of the party activists who are for him and primary voters who will stay with him regardless. And then there's probably 25% that are just anti-Trump and for this election. Everything in between are people that might vote for Trump, might not. But I do think those are the people, George, that are just getting tired of this. They're tired of the accusations that were leveled in that court, that sexual harassment case. They're just tired of the chaos, and they're tired of the constant talk about the election being stolen, his defense of January 6th rioters. I think that if they see a Republican nominee, a candidate who can emerge as a legitimate alternative to Trump, there could be strong movement that direction. But it does help Trump to have a big field, just like it did in 2016. Remember, 17 candidates standing on that stage, and he dominated the whole thing.
True.
But remember, but Iowa is the Iowa. Our process is Iowa, South Carolina, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada. Those four states are going to determine if there's a legitimate challenger to Trump or not, and then we could have a prolonged delegate fight. But if one of those other candidates emerges in those first four states, this could get really fun next year.
Dick, we're going to have you back on in the future here to continue to talk about this stuff. Texter firing up here, too. People, obviously, you inspire some people who come out and say, hey, I'd love to hear Dick's opinion, and other folks who are like, it's all about Trump, you know. So I want to keep having you back on to have this conversation because I worry about our state's future. I mean, I worry about the demographics that are changing, too, and I want to get the state demographer on. I worry about the sense that more and more people are leaving not just the city of Denver but the state of Colorado because they feel like we're a lost cause politically. And if you look at the legislature, I don't know that you can really rebut that at the moment. But I want to have you back on to keep having these conversations. Thank you for making time to do this. I should tell people, Dick is a columnist for the Gazette. Do you know what your column is this week that you put out? I should have looked it up.
I did one for Sunday, complimenting our Republican leadership in the legislature. I thought they did a very good job, considering how outnumbered they were. I thought they were principled and they were aggressive, and I thought they did a great job. That's what I talked about.
Go check out Dick Wadhams at the Gazette. I will, too. Dick, thank you, sir.
You bet. All right, George.
When we're going to take away a little, take off here for a little bit of a break. Good grief, man. I sounded like Fetterman there. In fact, we're going to come back and I might play some Fetterman sound. I had Billy Pohl. It's going to ask a broader question that we can have a conversation with today. By the way, I want to hear what you think too. Agree with Dick, disagree with Dick, agree with Dave, disagree with Dave. What's going on here in the state of Colorado? And maybe Colorado Springs is just a microcosm of what's taking place. 303-696-1971. Let me tell you about our friend Dan Kaplis. Dude is a fighter and a winner. In fact, I just heard that that Danny was able to score tickets to that Nuggets Lakers game yesterday and went with his son. Is there anything better than that, man? Taking your boy to a big time, meaningful, historic game where you get to watch one of the best play against one of the best, Jokic and LeBron James. Yes, I use their names in the same sentence, but Jokic's got more time in front of him. I thought that was really, really cool. But Dan's a family guy. Dan's a Colorado guy. Dan is also an attorney slash winner guy. And so if you're hurt, any kind of an injury, whether it's on the road or it could be at a Coors Field. I mean, if you remember when that escalator went crazy down there and severely hurt a bunch of people, who did they call? They called Dan Kaplis. That's because Dan will take your case seriously and he will fight for you as long as it takes and as long as you want to be in the fight to try to get you the most amount of justice you can get. So whether it's an individual or a trucking company or a Coors Field or the escalator maker, whether it's negligence, recklessness, even in some cases intentional conduct, Dan and his partner Bob or Wahid, they're the team that are going to get you into the end zone on that. Now, I realize I've just mixed three sports. I've gone Coors Field, Nuggets, and end zone right there, but that's what a sports lover does. Dan is the guy to call, and I say call because, yes, check out the website, dankaplislaw.com. It's C-A-P-L-A-S, dankaplislaw.com. That's cool. It's better if you just pick up the phone, in my opinion. Call the great people that work there. Have the conversation, 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551. If you want a winner, there's the number to go hire him to work for you. Stick around. We'll be back with you, me, the text, the phone calls that come in at 303-696-1971. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler with you here at 710 KNUS. My thanks to Dick Wadhams for coming on and having a conversation with us about what ails the GOP, specifically in light of the substantial loss by Wayne Williams, who a well-known Republican down there in Colorado Springs, to a less well-known but a socialist down there, Yemi. And I can't pronounce his last name, but I don't want to bash it. It sounds like he had a great operation, but it also sounds like there were other Republicans who came out and endorsed this guy. We had Dick on to talk about this, too. And, of course, Dick still convinced that the Trump factor is real. It has changed the voting patterns of the unaffiliated folks in this state. And, of course, we have full lines. People want to chime in on that. Barbara from Aurora, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, Barbara?
Hi, George. I am very disappointed in your last guest.
How come?
Who is to be a journalist. And instead of talking about the positive things, under President Trump, our country was in the best shape it has been in forever. And people were prospering. The border was closed. Interest rates were low. Inflation was low. So instead of that, let's talk like we're voting for homecoming king and talk about his personality. You know, it's not a homecoming king vote.
Couple things, Barbara. One, Dick isn't a journalist, and I don't think he's ever been a journalist. He just writes a column. It's like an op-ed thing. I write one, too. I don't really consider myself a journalist. But the other thing is, you heard Dick say, I voted for him twice. I loved the policies he had, and I loved the things that he did. I think his point, and I get this, is that whatever that personality stuff is that you and I don't think ought to make or break a candidate, there is a considerable number of voters out there who are turned off enough by him, just that part of it, that they say, no, I'm not going to vote for him. In fact, I'm going to vote against him. You know, he lost Colorado twice, 5 points, I think, to Hillary back in 2016. And in 2020, it was, 13, 16 points, something like that? How do you explain that?
I explain it that a lot of voters are ignorant and that the party does not do a good job of sticking together. The Democrats could put up a guy who's a known rapist and axe murderer, and the Dems will all get together and say, yay, yay, he's our man, vote for him. And everybody does. In Colorado, we have people infighting, and we have people like Tina Peters, who helped split. I think Tina Peters split things more than President Trump did. And instead of talking about all those negatives, bring out the numbers. Bring out the statistics, what he accomplished despite being attacked from all sides during his term in office. And I didn't realize that guy wasn't a journalist. My undergrad degree is in journalism, so I try to pay close attention.
So you're the journalist, Barbara. You are the journalist. Let me ask you this. Do you think any of that played a role in Colorado Springs? I mean, I know you're up here with us, but what's your sense of why Wayne lost down there?
Well, to Republicans endorsing the opposition, I mean, what's wrong with those people? That's what I'm saying. They don't stick together. They don't support the party. And it's like the rhinos in D.C. Are they really Republicans? And I will tell you, I'm an unaffiliated voter, but I am very conservative. And as long as there's some of the Republicans that there are in office, I won't be a Republican because I can't support them. I've never voted Democrat, and I never will.
Barbara, I appreciate your call. Thank you for your thoughts on this thing. I don't know that you've called in before, Barbara, but keep doing it. I love the conversation. 303-696-1971. Barbara's line is open, and it's the only one that's open. Let's have Peter from Colorado Springs. Peter, if you're down there in the eye of the storm, what happened, man?
Well, a lot of things that I heard this morning are absolutely true. I think some of the Republican people or Republican supporters here are not that supportive. They stayed home, and the Democrats are much better organized to get people out to vote. That's part of it. And I'm going to get vilified for this by some people, but I think a lot of people voted for Mr. Mobolane because they didn't want to be stuck with the term that they're racist. Okay? Personally, to qualify what I just said, I personally don't care what race Mr. Mobolane is. I don't care if he came from Mars and had three eyes in his forehead. I don't care. All I care about is his political views. And he's on record as being more than left of center, okay? He was asked in an interview that they where they asked both candidates, where the Gazette locally asked both candidates for their political views. One question was, who'd you vote for president last election? And Wayne Williams said, I voted for Trump, and I was on Ted Cruz's team to try to get him reelected in Texas. And Mr. Mobolata said, well, voting is a private matter, and I declined to answer. That's all I needed to hear from him, because if you're not willing to stand up for who you voted for, I think I know who you voted for. That's part of it. And that's basically my opinion. And also, Mr. Mobolata is on record, public record, that when our senator, who said he wasn't cut out to be senator, our junior senator from Colorado, was running, was nominated, there were other candidates on the Democratic side that looked to be nominated. Mr. Mobolane is on record as having contributed only to one candidate, and that was the most far-left candidate on the Democratic side that was running for Senate.
Peter, I'm gonna say, have you talked to anybody that has said, I mean, what intrigues me is your notion that there were a number of voters who voted out of, like, I guess, white guilt for Yemi. Have you met anybody who said that to you, or what gives you that sense?
What gives me that sense, I know how people on certain parts of the city have voted in past elections, okay? And they always voted for the left-leaning person more so than the right-leaning person. Personally, I'm a conservative. I'm not a, you know, I as our president says, a terrorist because I am a MAGA Republican or something like that. I'm voting for what I believe in. And the best, and what the left is doing is destroying this country. And I'm now looking forward to being a southern suburb of the city of Denver. If this guy gets away with what he's proposing, like unionizing firefighters and police and equity and public pay and all of this sort of thing, I say, boy, if I wasn't as old as I am, I'd be moving out of the state. And I've lived here for 52 years. I've had it, what's happening to the state. I came here in 72, and I'm watching the state going down the toilet year after year after year for the last 15 or 20 years.
Peter, thanks for your perspective from being down there. I appreciate the thoughts on it. I think there's a lot of stuff that you said that I could wrap my mind around. The one that I just can't get is that Yemi won in part because of white guilt, that folks were just like, well, I want to be able to say I wasn't racist, or I don't want us to be labeled as racist if we defeat him. I just think that must be your speculation, your gut speculation. I just can't imagine there's anything out there to support it beyond that. That's the most controversial thing I think you said. There are other stuff. It makes some sense to me. 303-696-1971. I'm going to go to Ben from Morrison. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, hey, George. I think it's, you know, it's a multitude of factors. There's not one single particular thing. I think demographic changes are probably a big part of it. I know a lot of people, you know, I went to college with and stuff that, you know, they might have been working out in some place like Iowa, but now they're figuring out, oh, you know, I don't have to go into an office anymore. I can move out to Colorado where it's a lot prettier, and I can still, like, keep my same job that pays well. You know, I moved out there because I got a raise to go out to Des Moines, but it's like now I can go to Colorado and still, you know, make the same money. So I think there's a lot of people that are moving in. When I look at, like, the urban development in Colorado Springs, it's going up. It seems to be geared towards a lot, like, younger kind of families, particularly on that north side, kind of by Powers and InterQuest, when I look at the stuff that's going up there. So I think that's one factor, is that's changing.
I am concerned about that as well. Like, I always wince when I drive down Parker Road or anywhere around Douglas County, and I see more of these multi-unit dwellings, these high-density dwellings. I have similar concerns. One, I don't want the services overburdened by them. I mean, when you put 8 billion people in the space that normally held, you know, 80 or 800, you just have a different impact on services. But I also think you're right, too, that there may be a tendency that they don't see things politically the way I do.
Yeah, so I think that's one factor. And then I think Trump is toxic to the Republican brand. I don't think that helps, especially in a state like Colorado where we're mostly independent. Independents don't tend to favor Donald Trump. Like, there's a rabid 30% of the country that goes nuts over him, but the other 70% doesn't really like him that much. I mean, that's why he loses in popular votes consistently. I mean, most of the country does not like this man.
Well, sort of tongue-in-cheek, someone had tweeted out at one point, the only majority vote he's ever received was the indictment. So I don't know if that's true or not, but Ben, I mean,
now he's coming in with more baggage after January 6th, you know, the election fraud. He's sexually assaulted a woman. He's convicted on that.
I wonder how much. I don't think any of that, which is another conversation. I don't think any of that affects his base. Like,
I don't think it does to the base, but I think it does to independents.
Is anybody that would consider them a always Trumper, is there anybody who's changed their mind as a result of any of those court cases? My best guess is if we had that topic, people would say no, because I think he's getting railroaded, or because I think it's just the left trying to take down a guy who was the best president we had. I mean, you're just going to, I don't think it changed a single mind in that area. It's fascinating to me that I've heard someone say this too. Dude could do exactly what he said, step out into the street in Manhattan and murder someone, and he's not going to lose any votes from his supporters. I think that could be true.
Yeah. I do too.
Ben, thank you for the phone call. As always, great listener. Listen, I got to cut away for a break, and then Sue and everybody else that's calling in at 303-696-1971, I will get you on. Can I tell you about Mitch Floria? You've heard me talk about him before. He is the guy, Romanian immigrant, legal. Thank you. Grew up under communist-controlled Ceausescu, you know, in Romania, came out here, started a business. It's called The Art of Granite. But don't be deceived. You can go to theartofgranite.com and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's not just about granite. This guy does the countertops for your bathroom, for your kitchen, with more than granite. He does marbles. He does marble quartz. If you can make it, he can do it. If it exists in nature, he can find it, and he can cut it and fit it and make it fit your dream kitchen, your dream bathroom. So if you're looking to upgrade, there's no other better place to go. This guy is not just a patriot. He's a craftsman and a great businessman too. And here's the proof. He loves listening to 710. He wants you to come and do business with him. And here's how he tells, this is how he tells you he's a great businessman too. He says, listen, all you got to do is come in and say, I'm a 710 listener. I listen to George on the George Show. He does too. Boom. Right away, you get a free bathroom countertop with your kitchen countertop package. Or if you say, yeah, that's just too ambitious for me right now, I just want to upgrade my kitchen. That's fine. Throws in the kitchen sink. This guy wants to give you an incentive to do this. And here's the other thing. I read to you earlier a text from someone who was like, hey, I went to Twin Aspen Dental. It was a great experience. I get texts like that about Mitch Floria from the Art of Granite all the time. Folks that I didn't even know, friends of mine who used him, were like, we love Mitch. He is the best. Find out for yourself. Go to theartofgranite.com. That's theartofgranite.com. Or call him at 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. When we come back, it's going to be you, Sue, me, and the radio. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here. Final segment of the show for this hump day. We're going to go right back to the phones as promised. Sue, you're on 710 KNUS. Sue, what do you think?
Good morning, George. How are you? You have a great show.
Hey, thank you for saying that. Thank you.
So, yeah, you bet. So I just wanted a couple of comments. But before I talk about the election and that, I want to remind everybody that Ronald Reagan said, do not trash other Republicans. And I just want to remind people not to trash KBB. A lot of us love her.
I thought KBB was great. I think KBB is great.
Me too. So let's move on. I just kind of felt like that didn't need to be said this morning.
Well, you're right that 11th commandment has gone the way of the dodo. Man, that's all that happens anymore. We just beat the hell out of each other. Yeah.
Let's bring it back. So I'm a Denver Republican and just moved to Arapahoe County, and clearly it's not because of politics.
Right, exactly.
I did real well in my house in West Park. So,
congrats.
So what I will say about this is that I'm a longtime Republican. I lived in that area for 36 years, and clearly I'm moving into Arapahoe County, and I think that, you know, a lot of Dick Wadhams is right that about, you know, Trump and that sort of thing. And my comment before I go into the election is, if Trump policies are so great, then can't anybody do them? Thank you. I was an original Trump supporter, and a lot of us are sick of the election was stolen. I don't believe it was. And so let's all move on. And so can't we elect people that, you know, support those things? And so I believe that Wayne Williams did. And so some of us knew about the election, and a lot of Republicans down there didn't like him because supposedly he brought in mail and ballots and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I kind of, I'm sorry, I'm monopolizing this.
No, no, keep going.
So I kind of feel like that fed into that election a bit because you heard of, we knew some good Republicans down there decided not to support him. And there's a very combative discussion going on right now that some of us are rhinos, including me. I've been a long-time, you know, Denver area Republican. And I supported Trump when nobody else did. So let's move on.
Did you vote for him again in 2020?
I did. Yes, sir.
Yeah, me too.
I would not this time. I mean, I will if he's the
nominee.
I will. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But I feel like we need somebody who is a little bit more far-reaching than the election was stolen.
I think that there's a lot of logic there, a lot of wisdom there, and there are going to be people that are going to disagree. But he brings a lot of good, right? Like a lot of the policies and the things that he got done that others had, I don't think that's deniable. But I just think that there is a certain portion of the support for him that denies that the negatives that he brings exist or that they outweigh the positives for so many voters, including those unaffiliated in suburbia. That's the problem. So when you say, hey, it's time to move on, it's not a hatred for Trump. It's a recognition that if we want to win, we've got to take the distraction off the table. I just don't know if that's going to happen. Sue, I can't thank you enough. One last quick comment. I got a couple seconds.
Yeah, I think that we all, let's, you know, like Ronald Reagan, let's celebrate Trump policies, and we all have to embrace Reagan and Trump from now on and move on.
Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. Hey, my thanks to Dave Williams, the State Party GOP chair, Dick Wadhams, the former State GOP Party chair. Hey, listen, tomorrow, Randy Corcoran will be sitting in for me. I'll be back with you on Friday. It's my son's graduation. I'll see you tomorrow or Friday. It's George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.